this week coming up that we're in right now is in black with white writing, just so that we can kind of, you can see this week in a glance. Because sometimes you can look at this, if you're like me, sometimes you're looking and you're kind of talking to someone and you kind of miss stuff. And so just trying to help us all stay on the same page. And I just want to highlight a couple things that are going on. In 2 weeks, we're going to have the baby dedication, and we're going to have water baptism, and we're going to celebrate communion. So that's in 2 Sundays from right now. So, it's going to be a big Sunday. That's a huge one. And if you're getting baptized, I encourage you to invite your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, all of them. And if you're dedicating a baby, again, just it's a great chance to invite people that either seldom or never go to church, just to kind of come back and check out our church and see what's going on. And it gives God a chance for them to be in our midst, to touch them and maybe bring some hope and joy into their lives. Amen? And the other thing I want to highlight is the 24-hour prayer. That's coming up next weekend. So the sign-up sheet is right outside in the foyer on that table. So if you'd like to just sign up for any kind of a time period that you'd like to come to, that would be great. You can see that a lot of us have already done that. And I'll talk about it a little bit more during in my sermon. But it's just a real great time to come in during that 24 hours of prayer that you can, you know, basically leave the rest of your life outside the building. If you're like me, sometimes when I'm at home and I'm trying to just like meditate on God or get quiet with God or something, and the phone will ring or the door will knock, somebody will come over, and it's all good stuff, but it's still a distraction. And if I'm here and my phone's out in my car, it's just going to be me and God time. So I just encourage you to come in, just do that. Bring your Bible, bring your notebook, or if you have a smartphone, make sure you turn the ringer off. I'll come in sometimes with my phone, but I'll hit that little button that says do not disturb. So then I can still use Bible app, I can use the note app on my phone, but I won't get distracted while I'm trying to hear from God. So that's next week, and I'll talk more about it later. Andy, would you like to come up? And Andy's got a pretty good announcement. I thought it'd be good for him to share.
So I just want to bring up, yesterday we had men's meeting, and we had a really good men's meeting. Lots of people came, and we had good food. If you've noticed at the men's meetings we've had, the women have been cooking for us. We've had pancakes, and we've had fruit, and we've had bacon, sausage, all sorts of stuff. So they've been serving us, so there's a chance for us men to serve the women. The women in 2 weeks are going to have a ladies' brunch here at church. 11. I knew there was time. At 11 on Saturday, what would that be?
The 9th.
So the reason I bring up the men is because we are going to serve the women like they've been serving us. So this is for everybody then. So the men can come, and we're going to make sandwiches and all sorts of things. So we're going to serve them, and they're going to come and enjoy time together and just have some fellowship and some good time together. So appreciate it. If anybody can come talk to me or Mike, and we'll get it figured out.
And so just to clarify, I think I just brought some confusion through. But next Saturday from 10 a.m. to Sunday service is a 24-hour prayer. And then that Sunday service, next Sunday service, is the baby dedication and water baptism. So what's in the calendar is right. 2 weeks from now is the woman's brunch. Okay? Clear as mud? Okay. Yep. Yeah. So this, everything in this is right. If you're not sure what I'm saying, just go by this. This is right. Okay, good. Can I have the ushers come up? We'll take the offering. We'll do that now, not in 2 weeks, not next weekend, not next Saturday, Sunday, or the 8th, the 9th, the 4th. Well, Father, I just believe you have a sense of humor. I think it's good to laugh in church. So, Lord, I just praise you and exalt you for your presence here already. We don't have to wait and hope that we can muster up your presence during worship or during the word or something. You're already here. You're eager to meet with us. You're in a good mood, and you love blessing your people. So today, Lord, as we cheerfully give back to you, I pray for a greater anointing on everyone who's cheerfully given back to you this morning, Lord. Your word says that you love a cheerful giver. So, Lord, we just kind of recognize that that's us. We're not giving because we got a bill in the mail or we got a bill on our phone. We're giving because we love you and we love giving to you. So, Lord, would you do your word to us and just show us your pleasure in our life because you love a cheerful giver. We ask you to bless this offering and multiply it, bring glory to your name, and extend your kingdom in people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, worship team, come on up as the baskets go by you.
Thank you. key. I search the world. Thank you.
Lord God, we all know it, and that's why we can joyfully sing it. There is nothing ever in our lives that's better than you. Nothing. Nothing compares to you. You are our all in all. We love you so much, Lord. Thank you for your great love for us. Your love changes our everything. So we can joyfully say, you are our everything. We praise you and we exalt you, Lord. Father, I just thank you that you reminded me today, even as we were worshiping, that you don't look for perfection. You look for participation. If it was just about perfection, we would literally hire professional grade singers and chorus and preacher and singers, and then we'd all just sit back with our popcorn and spectate. But Father, we're a family here, and we come in and we all participate. And we just thank you that that's all you ask for. And so we're blessed, Lord, to be in your presence, to participate together in what you're creating in our midst, this family that's so different than any other family we've ever had. And we just praise you and exalt you and thank you. We give you all the credit and the honor and the glory. All the praise is yours, Lord, and we joyfully give it to you. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you, worship team. That was awesome. I just appreciate how we're not after perfection, we're after participation. Amen? Oh, man, I'll race you to the door, right? Awesome. Amen. Even I was just kind of thinking when we started in the first song, and it was kind of quiet on this side, and it seemed like all the praise and worship's come from that side. And I just remembered being at a football game on Friday night. And after they scored a couple of touchdowns, I think they scored like 8 touchdowns, some crazy thing. But like we were about from me to Walt, we were sitting this close to the student section. And when they scored a touchdown, these kids lost their minds. I mean, it was just like crazy. The stands shook as they celebrated a touchdown. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be great if we had that kind of excitement here that they had? And it would be, but then I was reminded, if you're only going to spectate, you can spectate really amazingly. But if you're participating, then that's a whole different thing. And I think we're all participating in worship in different ways, in different formats, different levels, from different perspectives. So it's like almost like, as I was hoping for that, God kind of straightened me out a little bit. And it's like, I'm looking for participation more than spectating and applause. So anyway, that's my 2 cents about that. Anybody got a testimony about God's goodness in their life this week? There we go. Man, got to have tennis shoes on to beat Mary up here.
I brought this so I could read it.
Awesome.
Okay, the Lord always kept saying to me, my mercies are new every morning. And I couldn't remember, I thought it was in Psalms, so Jake looked it up for me. But it says here, Lamentations 3:22 and 23. Let me see. Though the Lord mercies, we are not consumed, but because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And I was just thinking, you know, it's like, when we have a bad day, it's bad, and we just don't know what to do. But then the next morning, we get up and we think about it again. And God says, my mercies are new every morning. What happened yesterday is gone. Don't take it on again today, because you have enough things today to think about. So when you do have problems and situations, just think, God's mercy is new every morning. We don't have to take on everything by ourselves. God is there for us.
Thank you, Mary.
There you go, Matt. Throughout my life, my grandma said the biggest joy is in the small things. I think I shared this the other day at the men's breakfast, but I went to the dollar store and bought a bunch of Kit Kats, and it dawned on me, I didn't buy these for me. It was to pass them out just to see the smiles. And I'm like, okay, after all these years with Grandma telling me the joy is in the small things, I'm like, oh, I finally get it. But it's like seeing someone smile, just knowing that you care about them enough to give them something as small as a Kit Kat, just brings a smile to my face. And I'm like, that's what she was talking about.
Thanks, Matt. Well, come on up, Cindy.
I had the opportunity to share gospel with two people this week, and I used the bridge illustration, so they had a picture of what it was all about. They didn't make a commitment, but I left the paper with them so they can think about it and pray for them. And I love the ladies group, because I had an opportunity to share a situation with my sister that seemed impossible. And we all prayed, and I can see the Holy Spirit moving in my sister's life. And things are changing, so I just praise God. He's so good.
Amen.
That's awesome. Thank you, Cindy. Yeah. Come on up, Angela.
I just want to say that I've been praying for my workplace. I work with, other than my boss, who I'm kind of on the fence about, I'm not 100% sure if he's a Christian or not yet, but my coworkers are not. And had the opportunity to speak with my supervisor. And he's asking me about Jesus. So something is kind of rubbing off on him. So I encourage everybody to step out of our box and our comfort zone. Don't be ashamed and preach. Amen. That's what we're called to do.
Preach, girl.
last night I had 8 teenagers in my home. I was so excited. You can ask Mike. I was elated because it was homecoming. And my grandson had a date. And he said, Grandma, are you going to be home? And I was like, yeah, I'll make a point to be home. So they did stop in. And it was not just him, but 3 other couples. So we were just, it was just so fun having that. But so much life and those kids, and it was just so awesome. All of them were receptive to Grandma and Grandpa's hugs and encouragement, and I got to tell them all I've been praying for them to keep safe, drive carefully. So it was just really awesome. I just really, that's a blessing from God for me.
Thank you, Lord. Now, you guys, you notice he didn't text Grandpa to see if he was home, right? Grandma, are you home? Just saying. I'll go fishing, but when it really counts, big moments, it's like, Grandma, where are you at? So, well, I'll just share, for me, a highlight this week that God's grace just showed up, and even the power of the Holy Spirit, as yesterday morning, just before the men's meeting, Dennis said, if I asked if the guy over there on the porch was the guy that I was talking about that I wanted to go and visit, and I said, yeah, that's my friend Bill. So anyways, we went over there and talked to him, and he was really at his wits' end. He was really at a tough spot when we walked up there. His wits' end is probably the best way I could say it. And so we encouraged him and we prayed with him for a little bit. And when we left, he literally went like almost a Superman move. Wouldn't you say, Dennis? He's like, oh, yeah, I feel like a weight has been lifted off me. Thanks so much. I mean, he was smiling from ear to ear. And it was just us going over there, just showing a little bit of God's love, praying for him. And I think God touched him was a big part of it. But it was just, I mean, it's just literally that simple. Just showing someone some kindness, praying with them, took us 5 or 10 minutes. So for me, it was a real highlight. So the kids are released along with the children's church workers. I'm going to switch over to the other mic now. If you have your Bible with you, could you turn with me to Exodus chapter 3, please? We're going to bounce around a little bit today. But next weekend, we're going to be doing our 24-hour prayer vigil. And collectively, all of us as a family are going to pray for 24 hours straight. And it's kind of almost never heard of anymore. I personally don't know of any other church that's doing that. They do have prayer meetings. We have prayer meetings and stuff. But I think there's something amazing when you pray for a whole day through. I see it in the Old Testament sometimes. And then amazing things happen for the nation of Israel when the faithful people will just pray like that. And so together we're going to seek God in prayer. That's really what I'm encouraging all of us to do. So I encourage you to bring your Bible, bring a notebook, and then just like try to slow down a little bit. Try to take a deep breath. And then even if just open your Bible and start looking at some of your favorite passages or some of your favorite verses. Or, you know, if all of a sudden a verse comes to your memory, just kind of look that up and read it through. And then if something else comes through, then just follow the trail as God puts things on your memory. And when something jumps out, write that thing down. Write that puppy down. And I know we all have our favorite verses, but sometimes when you're reading the Bible, I mean, it'll jump out at you, right? I think we've all experienced that. So that's where your notebook's really good to have. So you can just jot down, even if you just say, you know, Psalm 37, verse 6. You don't have to write out the whole verse. But later on that day or the next day or later on next week, you can open up your notes and go, oh, yeah, Psalm 37. Let me open that thing up. Oh, yeah, God, that's what you... And it just keeps it with you that whole time. So it's like it's stuck with you. And then as we're praying, you know, if God says a verse, brings a verse to you, and it really jumps off the page at you, maybe then just like close your Bible for a second and then just ask God, God, what do you want to say to me out of Psalm 37? What do you actually say? You'll be surprised. I would be surprised if you don't get a crystal clear thought about how this applies to you and where you're at, about something specific God wants to say to you personally through His Word. Amen? I'm expecting for anyone that comes in here in that 24-hour period as you're praying for God to talk to you. I'm totally expecting. The Bible's full of Him saying He speaks to His people, He speaks through His people. This is how it happens. If we want to make sure we're really safe with this, stick to the Bible. This is the verse that God really put on my heart. This is the verse that it seemed like the Holy Spirit was saying for me personally to da-da-da-da. And collectively, as we're doing this, let's be open to something that God might, you know, the memory comes through or this thought comes through. It's really strong. Psalm 37, maybe verse 3 or verse 12, whatever. And you look it up and you're going, wow, that's amazing. That kind of fits for our churches. I think that's a verse for our church right now. Jot that thing down. And I'll have a basket on the foyer so that when you have a verse or maybe a picture or impression or something, you can just jot that down for, if you think it's for the church, just put it in that basket. And then me and Andy, as elders, will get those, what I would call prophetic words. I'll get those out. We'll get those out. We'll pray over them. And we'll try to see. We'll try to discern. We'll weigh those and see if there's a clear thing in there that God's telling us. Does that make sense to everybody? That's what I believe the Bible teaches for weighing a prophetic word. That's what I think a prophetic word is. So we're going to be praying for ourselves. I'm going to pray for me. I want more of God in my life. I want to serve Him better. I want to quit some of the stupid stuff I still do. I want definitely some of my thinking changed. I think that goes for all of us, right? None of us are where we want to end up. We may not be where we started, but we're not where we want to end up yet. So we'll pray for ourselves. We're going to pray for our families. I've never met a perfect family yet, not one single perfect family yet. So we can definitely be praying for our families, our loved ones, and certainly we can spare a few minutes for our nation right now. Amen? Oh, my goodness. I don't even get into that. That's a train wreck, side wreck. And we're going to be praying for this church specifically. This is the main reason that I called this 24-hour prayer. Let's pray for where God wants us to go in this new season. Many people have been asking me, several people have been asking me over the last 2 or 3 weeks, how are we going to minister to our neighbors in this upcoming holiday season? How are we going to start helping the people around us? And then I have to give them the stupid answer of, well, I'm not sure. I don't like that answer. I want to hear what God wants us to do. So let's pray for God as we all seek his face in the 24-hour period, God, would you please give us a clear direction on what you want us to do in this next stage going forward? Amen? Okay, so that's kind of what's the whole gist of all this. We're going to be praying for this church and specifically how God wants us to be outward, serving Newhall and Wyoming as we go forward. So to do that, I'm asking for God for his fire. And if you're like me, and I think, I look scanning the crowd, I think all of us already have the fire of God in us. I want more. I heard a song, I'm going to play the song at the closing today, and the one line just really shocked me. When I'm working out, I'll listen to Spotify, and then sometimes you hit a certain button or something, and then they send you all this extra stuff in there. Pretty soon I'm doing something, and I'm like, where'd this song come from? What in the world? What's that? And this song, it was all about fresh fire. This guy's singing for God to give him fresh fire. And one of the lines is, because a guy on fire doesn't care what he looks like, and a guy on fire doesn't care what he sounds like. And I think as Christians, sometimes we can get hung up as we're trying to share the gospel. Am I doing it right? Do I look right? Am I offending anyone? Or I don't want to make anyone uncomfortable. It's like, if you're on fire, you forget about all that mess. God sent me to you today for a divine appointment to change your whole life. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. That's what someone on fire does. So I just want God to give us more of the fire. So let's look at some of this fire in the Bible. You know, me and Jake had a great conversation yesterday about the fire of God. This that I'm talking about ain't that. Because he asked me a question about one of the prophets in the Old Testament, some guy that went up on a mountain, and then he called down the fire of God on a whole troop of soldiers that came up to him, and they burnt them all up. And then so this evil king sends out a whole other troop, and he burns them all up, and then he sends out a third bunch. And those ones didn't get fried. So we were talking about this fire that I'm asking for God to give us isn't that fire. That's judgment fire. We're not asking for that judgment fire. We're asking for anointing fire and directional fire. Because most times in the Bible, when the fire of God comes on an individual or on a people, it's directional. Isn't that amazing? Most of the time we think about judgment fire. And so let's just look at this stuff. One of the main awesome things we've all heard about is the Moses and the burning bush. Let's look at that. Exodus 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Verse 4, so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, I think that's key. Anytime you see a move of God happen, and we're in a move of God right now, it's just the early stages. But there's absolutely a move of God going on in our midst right now. And if we're not careful, we can just be so busy. It's kind of like, oh, I saw that flash, but I still got to get all this stuff running right now. We have to go, hold it. Oh, I saw that flash. What in the world? I got to get a better look. That's kind of what Moses did. I think he just kind of turned and took one or two steps towards this bush. I don't think he ran over to the bush, because watch this. As we look at this whole conversation he has with the Lord, he says, now I'll turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Verse 4. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. So it's absolutely amazing that God did this fiery bush, and I think maybe there was fiery bushes in the desert before then that Moses seen. If you've ever been in any deserts or out west very often, there's like a constant fire all the time now. So Moses lived in the desert for 40 years. I'm sure he saw burning bushes before that. But as he's leading the sheep from one place to another and going slow, he probably noticed that bush burning, and he's walking, and bush is still kind of burning, and he busy about his work and busy about his business. An hour later, he looks over, and the bush is still burning. And that's kind of what this says. It kind of looked normal, except for something was happening here to the point where finally Moses had to stop and turn aside from all the other stuff he was doing to get a better look at what's going on. It took him turning his attention to get the conversation from God. Yeah. Amen? That's big, because we're all super busy. And when the things of God start happening, they look pretty normal until you realize there's a string of these normal things happening and it must be God in it. Now, for those of us who have been at this church for a few years, we realize there's something happening here. There's visitors coming and they're staying and they're excited. That's where y'all can get excited. And so if we're not careful, it's like, oh, yeah, there's new people here. That's pretty usual. Just wait and see how long they last. It's like Moses going through the, bush is burning. Let's see how long it lasts. It's like, no, dude, God's doing something here. Turn aside and get a close look. Talk to the visitors. See what God's doing in their life. See what God's putting on their hearts. You'll be surprised at the fire of God that's in the new people here in this new church. Not new church, but a new season in this church. I'm super excited. I am. Of course, I make a point of talking to the new people a lot right now because I want to get more excited. If you want to get excited, talk to excited people. If you want to get depressed, talk to only depressed people. If you want to get crabby, spend some time with a crabby person. You'll walk away biting people's face off. I guarantee it. I want to get excited. I want to get excited for the Lord. So Moses, if you backtrack this, because of time, I'm not going to do it. But if you backtrack this, we know about the whole thing about how Pharaoh wanted to wipe out all the male Jews. And so he was killing the babies. And Moses' mom threw him in the river. And he ended up getting taken out by Pharaoh's daughter and raised up. And all these things. So Moses was raised an Egyptian, in line to be Pharaoh. He might have been next, or maybe the guy after him. If the daughter had any brothers, then he would have been after her brother. If she didn't have any brothers, if she was the only child, then Moses is probably the next Pharaoh. And so whether he was being trained to be Pharaoh, living in Pharaoh's house, all of that, any way you slice it, he had the best of the whole planet going on for him. He had the best training, the best everything, certainly the best future. His 401 was looking pretty good if he was going to be Pharaoh. He gave up all that because he thought it was better to be counted a Jew than to stay in Egypt with all that niceties. That's what the Bible talks about. So you've got Moses who all of a sudden, I think he was told at a very young age he was a Jew, and he was taught all the Jewish promises and beliefs even as he was raised to be Pharaoh. I think it was both ways for him. He reaches an age where he finally says, you know what, I want to stand with the Jews on this thing. And so he goes and he starts trying to do this thing. He was so extensive on it that he goes and tries to separate a couple of his brothers that are fighting, and he kills one of them. Well, then that's what he goes out into the desert, and he's hanging around the desert. But for me, I think he was up until the point where he had this conversation with God. I think Moses was a religious guy who wanted to do good things. I think he was so religious and so trying so hard to do the right thing, he actually killed the guy accidentally. Right thing, wrong reason, wrong thing, right reason, so one of those things. Then he has this burning bush experience, and everything changes for Moses. He went from a religious guy just wanting to belong. Now I'm a Jew, I want to belong with you Jews, which sounds like some churchgoers. He went from a religious guy who just wanted to belong and do good. All of a sudden, he's a man of God doing God's will. From this point on, everything, every reference, every story about Moses is this radical guy that did whatever God told him to do to the letter of the law, and not because somebody else told him to or he heard it was a good idea, but God said, Moses, go do this. Should I take a bike break for a second? I see half the guys watching. God bless you. Okay, back to Moses. So we got Moses, who's a religious guy, wants to belong, doing the best he can. And then God gets a hold of him with a simple conversation with a burning bush that, as near as I can tell, the only difference about this bush from other burning bushes is that it didn't go out. It kept burning. I know in all the movies and stuff that we see, it's like it has the Star Wars glow about it or some kind of a glow from a Marvel's Avenger movie or something. I think it was a fire. I think it, if you weren't careful, it looked regular. Except it kept burning if you watched closely. All of a sudden, he gives up everything for God. I mean, before he left up royalty, and he went and found a different job for his father-in-law. So he could be religious and prosperous at the same time, but nothing real radical there. Man, once he had a conversation with God, it was done. I'll see you, sweetie, when I see you. Tell my boys I love them, but I'm going to go do something for God because everything's changed now. From that one conversation at the burning bush, it directed the rest of his life. That burning fire on that little bush changed the direction of his life. He was wandering around in the desert as a religious do-gooder for 40 years, and that burning bush, the fire of God, directed him to go. And from there on, we know the whole story about Moses. He went into Egypt, went right back in there, went up to the Pharaoh and said, who, by the way, Pharaoh would have been totally offended with him and hated his guts by this time, because basically the Pharaoh had adopted Moses and given him the best he could right in his own house. And Moses said, I don't want none of your stuff. I'd go rather hang out with these slaves. Can you imagine how offended the most powerful man on earth was? And Moses went right up to him and said, hey, dude, the rules have changed. Guess what? God's in this now. You're going to set his people free. That's not a good icebreaker if you're trying to mend a relationship, right? Moses didn't care. Once he had the fire encounter and he heard God for himself, he obeyed supernaturally and he went and did supernatural stuff. And God set a whole nation free because Moses turned aside to see why this fire ain't going out. It's amazing. So then they start going through the desert. He gets them out of Egypt with 10 amazing miracles. We all know those stories. He gets them out in the desert and they're walking around. Exodus 13, you guys are in Exodus 3, 10 chapters later. I'm just going to quote this one verse. Exodus 13, 21 says this. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and by night. Clearly, the fire of God is completely directional. They could find the cloud, the regular cloud during the day, follow that. But at night, which is about half the time, they went by the pillar of fire, and they traveled the fire, followed the fire, going directionally. Fire God is directional. God led his people with the same fire in this form of pillar half the time for 40 years while they wandered around these deserts and through the mountains, through any kind of obstacle you can imagine. The fire of God got them from where they started to exactly where he wanted them to end up. And they ended up crossing the Jordan with Joshua just a few days after Moses dies. Fire of God led him through that the whole way. It's amazing. I think by the end of Moses' life, he would have said, if I don't see the fire, I ain't going. Simple as that. I know you guys took a vote. I know that 97% of you thought it was a great idea if we go over here this direction. And you got scriptures. You got all this. I ain't going unless I see the fire of God. We're going to come in here and pray for 24 hours for the fire of God to give us a direction to what he wants us to do in this neighborhood and even in Wyoming. And I would say in the future. I'm not even going to limit it to just between now and the holiday season. How do we head out here, God? What's the first few steps for this year for Wyoming and for Newhall? So that's the Old Testament. You can find that. I had so many sidelines today to try to weed this down to what God wanted me to share for this morning, because there's literally story after story after story after story after story in the whole Old Testament, how God brought his people from one situation to another situation, and it involved the fire of God directing them through that. If you want to do an awesome Google search, just ask old Google, show me scriptures that have fire in them in the Bible. I don't know how many there are, hundreds, I think. I didn't count them. But you'll be encouraged as you read them. It's amazing. So let's go to the New Testament. Let's see if this goes for us nowadays. So let's go to Luke chapter 3, verse 16. Another way that I've seen the fire of God, another way that I've seen the fire of God fall in our midst in the last couple of weeks has been for me personally. Last Friday, I was given a prophetic word by a stranger And yesterday I was given a prophetic word by a stranger. They have never met each other, let alone talked before they talked to me. And it was almost word for word what they both said to me about, these are their words, not mine. I just met strangers, never talked to them before. That it's a new season for this place. There's a new anointing in this place, and God's about to do something big here. Two strangers from each other, two strangers to me, and both said the same thing within 8 days of each other. Just saying. I'm definitely turning aside to that bush, let me just tell you. Definitely. So, Luke 3:16. This is while John the Baptist is out baptizing, and people are starting to ask him questions about what's going on and the who, what's, why's, and the details. And so John answers and said to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I think sometimes we mix this up a little bit. I think sometimes somehow we say, we read it, but we hear inside, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, which is fire. Or the Holy Spirit and fire, which are the same thing. It's like, no, John the Baptist said Jesus is going to baptize us with two distinct different things. The Holy Ghost we're going to get baptized with, and the fire of God we're going to get baptized with. Wow. Now, John was a forerunner. Literally, he was the person pointing the way forward in a completely new way of life. Almost his entire audience would have been Jewish people that were used to the temple, the Mosaic law, the priests, animal sacrifice, all that stuff. And John comes smoking through and he says, no, everything's changed now. From here forth, we're going to do things a little bit different. It's not going to be about outward stuff. It's going to be about inside. It's going to be about a heart condition that says, God, I don't want to be boss of my life anymore. I'm miserable. I want to turn from all this stuff, and I want to repent. I want to turn away. That's what that literally, I want to repent from this, and I want to turn to you in faith. Trust you for my forgiveness, your mercy, your grace, for my life right now and eternal life. That's what John said, and he didn't use extra words. He just made it crystal clear. He pointed a way forward in a completely different way. John only preached faith in Jesus Christ. Only. You can't find parables. You can't find people came up to him and said, what do you want, you brood of vipers? He was not seeker sensitive at all. Who told you, you bunch of whitewashed sepulchers? Whoa, dude, harsh. So John preached faith about Jesus. Repent and put your faith in the coming Messiah. John literally pointed out and baptized the one he was talking about. He baptized the Lamb of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, regular old John the Baptist, took and baptized Jesus. Jesus comes up and the Holy Ghost comes down upon him. They could see this happen. That all the Gospels are pretty plain about that story. John talked about Jesus, talked about this chain, and then Jesus comes through, gets baptized by him. Wow. John's whole ministry, he defined in one scripture. He says, I must decrease while he increases. That was John's whole point about coming to Christ, coming to the Messiah in faith, repenting of our old life, and going to him. It was completely about this baptism that Jesus would do. And I say all these verses right here in this whole package to make sure there's zero wiggle room for a mistake here. There's zero room. John said, the guy who comes after me is going to baptize like I baptize. In case you're wondering what this baptism is going to look like, imagine John preaching while he's like waist deep in the river. He's already baptized 600 or 700 people that day. The line goes out of sight. As this other guy comes up, John lays his hand on him and says, I indeed baptize you guys. Skadoosh, kaboof. And the guy comes up and sputtering and I wasn't ready, man. He comes in, he goes, I do baptize you. I am dunking you completely, thoroughly in and out of something. But the guy that comes after me is going to baptize you the same way, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. What do you think they thought of that? What's that going to look like? Because they knew about the Holy Spirit and all he had done in the Old Testament. I'm going to be literally saturated in the Holy Ghost and fire? Whew. Bring it on. I bet there was a shoving match to get up there and get baptized then, huh? I bet more than just one person got dunked then once he told them that. Wow. Let's turn to Luke chapter 24. Because our faith in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the fire of Jesus Christ, I want it to be more than just me putting a few verses together or me quoting John the Baptist. If we want to have our faith as rock solid as it can be, let's see what Jesus said about this. Luke 24, verse 46. This is Jesus talking. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Jesus is saying, this is the Great Commission. Go throughout the whole world preaching the gospel, leading people to salvation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and make disciples of them. That's the Great Commission. I've been hitting that pretty hard the last few weeks. This is Jesus saying, go. Go and do this thing. But wait until you get power from on high. Don't preach the gospel without power. That's literally what he's saying. Behold, I send you the promise of the Father. Okay, so John the Baptist said that you were the guy going to do it, but now you're telling us you're the guy that's going to do it, but only because the Father said so? Wow. So the Holy Ghost baptizes us. Jesus sends the baptism upon us, and it was the Father's idea to baptize us in the Holy Ghost. There's not many other places in the whole Bible where you see the whole Trinity getting ready to do something for us. The only other one that you see all three of them active is actually when John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. And John baptizes Jesus, he comes out, the Holy Ghost comes upon him, and the Father says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." There's very few pictures in the whole Bible that shows all three active. Right here we got one. And they're all three agreeing, they're all three pointing for us to be full of power because the Holy Ghost. So the Great Commission has one modifier. And by that, I mean it's not just a blank check. Just go talk. Just go tell people. So you say, go tell people, but don't do it until you got the Holy Ghost. Man, that's big. Jesus' last words to the believers was saying, go preach the Gospels, make disciples, but make sure you got the Holy Ghost. Man, wait until you get what my Father promised. Man. So Jesus, you're telling me don't do anything until I get my present from Dad? All right. This is awesome. Let's do this thing. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. You guys probably knew I was going to end up at Acts chapter 2 somewhere. If we're going to talk about the Holy Ghost and fire, you got to go to Acts chapter 2. Man, maybe I ought to start thinking about having a blessing of the bikes service around here, huh? And of course, I'd have to go buy a new bicycle then. No? Pray about it. No, that's okay. Yeah. Oh, man. Got myself on that one. Every time she asks Dad if I can do something halfway dangerous, it's always no. Okay, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Wow. On Pentecost, this is the birth of the New Testament church. I think sometimes we get get confused thinking that the birth of the church is when Jesus was raised. That's not the birth of the church. This is the birth of the church when the Holy Spirit was poured out on believers, and all of a sudden they were imbued with power from on high. And now they had the Father given them the Holy Ghost, faith in Jesus Christ, and everything changed. Totally changed. I think as we've read these verses, if you've been saved for very many years, amen. As if you've been saved for very many years, you've heard these verses preached, and invariably it goes something like, and on Pentecost, and one accord, and they're all in agreement, and then the Holy Spirit came, there was fire, and tongues. And so let's talk about tongues. And do you believe in tongues? Do you not believe in tongues? Do you speak in tongues? You don't speak in tongues? How come? Why? Can we just put like brackets around tongues for this morning? Just set them on a side. We're not for or against tongues. We're just going to set them on the side for a second. Let's get to where this is talking about the birth of the church through the power of the Holy Ghost. Man, they went. Remember what I said about Moses being a religious guy, doing good stuff, and then he saw that fire and he had a conversation with God and everything changed. Watch this. They went from being some religious guys and gals, there's about 70 of them, men and women, wanting to belong to something and do good, to all of a sudden, they were men and women of God doing God's will. There was a drastic change. Up until now, they kind of followed along with Jesus, and when he gave them clear instructions, they could do that one thing, and then they'd come back. From this point forward with the Holy Spirit, they almost like, boof, take off in all different directions, and they're all directed by the power of the Holy Spirit, going and doing amazing stuff through the power of the Holy Ghost and the fire. I think the fire directed them which ways to go. It was amazing. It's still amazing. They gave up everything. Remember Moses, who he kind of traded in a life in the palace for a sheep herding life for his father-in-law. But once he had this experience, changed everything. Now he's just totally for God. He didn't have a job. He doesn't have friends. I'm doing this for God. Everything else is second. These guys, they're religious. They were Jews to start out with. Then they followed Jesus, and they're doing all this stuff with Jesus. They were committed, good people, good church people. And after they get filled with the Holy Ghost, all bets are off. They give up everything for God. They left jobs. They left families. They left homes. They went. Jesus said, go. They went. Once they had this fire encounter and they heard God for themselves, they obeyed supernaturally, literally going in different directions, doing different things, and having the same results. Ooh. You know, you can use a lot of different methods to preach about Jesus Christ, to share the gospel. The methods change. The message never does. Not the true message. I know there's different messages out there now, but the truth is that if you repent of your sin and you turn in faith to God, you'll be forgiven and given eternal life. That's the true message. Lots of methods of way to preach that. Only one true message. Once they encountered this fire, they went out different places doing different things, and they all had the same results. The Bible literally says, if you read forward, you read through the whole chapter 2 of Acts, it says people gladly received the word, were baptized, and were added to their numbers. In just that first day, when the church was birthed, in just that first day, oh, by the way, tongues isn't mentioned again in this whole chapter. In that first day, they went from 70 people in an upper room to over 3,000 people in the local church. Something right was going on. They weren't holding classes on being filled with the Holy Ghost. They weren't holding classes on talking in tongues. They weren't holding classes on all the stuff that we get carried away doing. They just had the fire of God, the Holy Ghost, and they wanted to tell people about Jesus. This wonderful Jesus that changed their everything. It's so simple. It's so simple. We make it complicated. God said, you know what? Don't even try to do nothing until you got the Holy Ghost. Don't even say anything. I know you got directions. Sit down. Wait until you get the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, you're probably going to mess this thing up. I'm speaking for God now, but that's what I think he was thinking. So next weekend, we're going to be praying for 24 hours straight. All of us together, we're going to pray for 24 hours. Together, we're going to seek God for our families, for us, for our community, for our nation, and for the fire of God to show us which way to go. How do we do it? Because in reality, for those who have been here this whole 10 years, we could tell you new people that for every idea you have right now, we've tried that. Because I've had to spank me when people have asked me, so have you thought of this or have you thought of that? And I was telling Jeanette yesterday, I said, I've had to rebuke myself for the thoughts I had. Because my thought is, yeah, we've tried all of that. None of that works. Ugh. Wrong answer. Let's get with God. Let's pray to God and say, okay, this is a new day. His mercies are new every morning. We were just told that. This crowd here now, this family, has never been here ever before. Together, collectively, we're different than we've ever been. It's a new day. It's a new season. There's a fresh fire here. Let's see what God wants to do now. We may end up doing the exact same thing we tried three times already, and this time it's going to work. Amen. Maybe he's going to give us a brand new thing to do that none of us ever thought about before. And I'd be like, really, you want to do that? I really believe God said do it. Well, let's do it then. Yep. Let's follow the fire and see what God does. If you're like me, you probably think, well, I already got the fire. I've had the fire for a lot of years. Me too, and I want more. I'll just be honest with you. I think I do have the fire of God in me. I want more. I absolutely want more. So I found three surefire ways that Scripture teaches us how we can get more of the fire in us. Because some people aren't, they would say, I wouldn't say this. I think we're all great at praying. But some people say, well, I'm not really good at praying. I think we're all great at praying. We just get too hung up about trying to pray like somebody else. And God just wants us to hang out with him and talk to him and tell him what's already in our heart. And so in Psalm 93, verse 3, David says this. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. David would go and read the scriptures. He would go down to the temple, wouldn't ask the priest to read the word to him or pray for him or anoint. Where's the scriptures? And David would go in there. He'd read the scriptures. He'd think about them. And his heart would burn within him while he was reading and thinking about the word of God. If you want to get that fire going, get in the word. Yep, this is Pastor Mike once again on another Sunday saying, get in the Bible. Yes, get in the Bible. And just slow down a little bit, or when that verse pops out, ooh, that's one. God's talking to me today on that. That just jumped out of a book and became the living word in my heart. I just want to think about that, God, how you just spoke to me this. How does this fit in my life? What do you want me to do with this thing? And just start seeing what he does. Your heart will burn within you as you read and you meditate. You know another? Jeremiah 20, verse 9 says this. Then I said, I'll not make mention of him. Jeremiah's literally talking about, I'm done talking about God. He says, I'll not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Yes. You want to catch fire for God? Read the Bible. Just simple as that. Read the Bible. I don't think you can read the Bible on a consistent basis and keep it inside you. I don't think any of us are better people than Jeremiah was. Jeremiah tried to do it. And oh, by the way, and he was called and anointed from his mother's womb to be a prophet. His whole life, that's all he ever knew, was talking about God, forecasting what God wanted to do for his people. And he couldn't keep it within him. Wow. Luke 24:32 says this. And this is what Lois was talking about earlier. Luke 24:32. Because after you read the word, after you're thinking about the word, the third great way to catch fire from God, Luke 24:32. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? If you want to get on fire and you want to see someone else get encouraged and get on fire, just ask him, what's God been speaking to you lately? And sometimes people go, I'm not really sure. Well, let me tell you what he said to me. Today I was reading in Corinthians, and he said this, and you know what? Me and Jeanette have been praying for this thing, and then this thing happened, and God said that to me. It was amazing because God was talking just to me. all of a sudden you're all excited talking about how the God of the universe talked personally to you through his word in your situation where you're at. And then you do that, and then you're like, oh, now I remember. Yeah, I was reading in Genesis, and you know where this thing happened? And God said that to me. That's just what I was telling my son today. And then I read that, and that was it. It was like, oh, glory to God. You're watching, and you're talking to me. Get stoked by talking to someone about what God's doing in his word in your life. It's such an amazing time. As we step into this new season here at NCF, I want to encourage all of us. Let's read the Bible on a daily basis. You don't have to do 6 hours. You don't have to do 4 hours. You don't even have to do 1 hour. Just get in the Bible. I'll leave that up to you how much you want to do it. But get in the Bible every day and expect God to say something to you. And when that word or verse or passage jumps out at you, write that puppy down. So 2 hours later, after work happens or the boss chews you out or you get in a fight with your husband or your kids yell at you or the car breaks down, your life happens, a couple hours later you can go, oh, that's right, God, you said that to me right now today. Thank you, Lord. It transformed your whole life. We're in a new season. Let's get on fire intentionally, because you guys know how fast time goes. Before you know it, I'm going to be back up here going, oh, do you remember when we did that 24-hour prayer thing? We don't want to just leave it there. We want to have a lifestyle, being on fire for God and helping each other burn for God. Because sometimes we're just down, we get beat up, life sucks life out of us, and we need everybody else to come around and go, hey, come on, what's God been saying to you lately? Oh, I don't know. Well, hold on a second. Let me just pray for you. Let me tell you what God's been saying to me, what God's been doing to me. Now let me just pray for you. Tomorrow I'm going to call you and see what God said to you. We can do this. And we will catch on fire and change this city with God's power, with his love. When we gather, let's start asking each other, so what's God been showing you? What's God been showing you? Just that simple little thing. Because sometimes we go, well, we had a great time of fellowship. Oh, really, what'd God say? Huh? Well, you fellowshiped, so where was God in it? Well, I don't know. We talked about fishing and talked about football and talked about my grandson for a little while. I don't think I even brought God up. I'm talking about me right now. I'm not talking about you guys. As we go forward, let's help each other. You guys help me too. What's God been speaking to you lately? And let's just see what happens. Jay, can you get ready to play this song for me? So this song, it's a newer song to me. I'm not sure how long it's been out. Maybe you guys have heard it. But right now, in the season I'm in, I'm really into worship songs that have very few words. Because I'm not really good at learning songs that have a lot of words in them. Even, like, we do songs here. I stand right here. I look right there. And there's songs that we've been doing for years and years and years. And I still can't close my eyes during worship. I have to read every word. And so I'm really into worship songs that I can just close my eyes. They may seem really simple, but I can close my eyes. And I can tune everybody out and just go with the worship, me and God. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. I want to encourage you, maybe invite you into that now. As we're doing this song, I think within the first minute, a minute and a half, you'll have all the words. You'll have it. And then just kind of repeats that. So it's all about fresh fire and getting a hold of God and letting God get a hold of us. So, Jake, go ahead and play that, and then I'll pray for us at the end of this. Thank you, Jake.
fresh, fresh fire. I want what you desire. I'm gonna burn for you. Sounds like a man on fire doesn't care what he looks like.